Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. I am at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in my hotel room doing Dork Forests. That's right. Super fun. Local dork luminaries are coming into my hotel room. Let's do the credits. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio. Good for him. Vilmos fixes my website, JackieCation.com. Mike Rickberg composed and sang the intro song. He sang with his girlfriend, Sarah Cohen. Mike will sing at the end of the show his lyrics to the Mexican Hat Dance. You know that there's merch at JackieCation.com. You can get T-shirts, Ranger of the Dork Forest T-shirts, or just the Dork Forest T-shirts by Portland native Brett Chambers. And they're all union-made. They run a little bit big because of that. So plan that in your ordering. And orders include shipping. So it's good times. Anyway, so feel free to order that T-shirts or CD DVDs and whatnot. You can order some whatnot. You can also get everything, like all of my CDs and DVDs are available streaming. So you can get them on iTunes and Amazon, and you can just listen to them on Spotify and Pandora. Also at JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com, there's a donation button. Feel free to donate to the Dork Forest. If you like the show, I would totally appreciate it if you threw me some cash. I'm kind of interested. These episodes, I think I need a new cord. Anyway, I'm sure I have $20 for a new XLR cord. But the thing is if you want to throw me some money, that'd be great. I use it only for good things. And $100 a year would be great, $10 a month. I have not made that easy by having a $10 automatic payment out of your debit card or credit card because I don't like those. So every month, if you think of it, throw me $10 for 10 months and that's $100, or do whatever you, in whatever denomination you like. You can also order from Amazon through the Amazon portal at JackieCation.com, and that also supports the show and does not cost you extra at Amazon. Other than that, you can, if you like. You can watch a bunch of videos of me doing stand-up. You can go to my tour page and see all the upcoming tours that I'm going to do, and come and see me do stand-up live or a live Dork Forest. And now, an ad from this month's sponsor. Kind of exciting. And then the show. Hey, Rangers, this week's sponsor is Gen Con. It's a board game convention in Indianapolis, Indiana. Their slogan is, and this is true, the best 4 days in gaming. This year, it's July 30th through August 2nd in Indianapolis, Indiana. The badges are discounted $10 prior to June 14th, and you can get them online at gencon.com, G-E-N-C-O-N.com, or via will call, pick up at the door. There's like 16,000 events and 350 gaming companies on site. There's literally something for every gamer. Andy's gone for 2 years in a row. He's going again this year. He'll do play testing. And everybody play tests new games. You can meet people and play old games. You can just meet people. The greatest thing about this convention is that more people weren't standing in line to go to a panel. This is a convention where people are actually playing games, and it's really, really fun. They're expecting a little more than 60,000 gamers this year, making it the largest, longest-running game convention in North America. And it's just really fun. It's GENCON.com. I'm going to go. There's going to be a live Dork Forest. It is July 30th through August 2nd. Come and play games, you guys. Hey, it's Jackie Cation, and I am still in Portland, Oregon at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival with the other double click. Yeah, a travesty has happened that they are not in the Bridgetown Comedy Festival, but we're solving it with Dork Forest love. Hello, Aubrey Weber. Welcome to the Dork Forest.
Thank you for having me here. I'm so excited.
Excellent. All right. Very excited. Everyone should know at the double clicks is the
Twitter handle,
Instagram, and all that stuff.
Yes.
YouTube.com/TheDoubleClicks.
Yes.
The doubleclicks.bandcamp. You got your Kickstarter for the new album.
Yes.
Go called
President Snakes.
President Snakes. I like that. President Snakes, Jay. Are you familiar with the president who's running for president? Mr. Snakes.
President Snakes.
Ms. Snakes. Yes. She prefers Ms. And then you guys got music videos coming out of your ears on YouTube.
Yes. Yeah.
People should check it.
With our Patreon people. They're so great.
Yes. Awesome.
Yes.
Now, you play the cello.
I do.
As the two of you sing the silly and smart songs of the Double Clicks.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And the cello might be one of your dorkdoms, you said.
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Well, I've just done so much of it. I'm not...
Did you always like it?
No.
You shouldn't have, because it's a hard instrument to like.
It is really
hard.
It was really good for me to learn how to deal with frustration, because it's really frustrating, and you do have to just kind of like, I don't know, internalize it or just get mad at it and walk away, and then you come back and somehow your brain and body have processed like, oh, actually I could learn how to do those movements,
right?
Because and put it together.
It's because it's so. Did you start playing when you were like 8 or 9?
I did like a year and then gave it up. And then I went back to it when I was around 13, 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you were like, I would like to be in the orchestra kind of thing or no?
Yeah, we had an amazing orchestra teacher at my school. We were the luckiest people.
Right.
And, yeah.
Did you grow up here?
Outside Boston, like in a
Worcester?
Really, in Westford.
Okay.
Yes.
I've had a lot of Boston people on lately, so I've got some...
Oh, nice.
I've got some Boston geography in my head.
I don't even know where... Like, there's so many tiny towns, and there's like
it's
a
not
whole
that big.
West side of the state that just nobody's like, I don't know where that is. We still just refer to Boston because we know everybody knows that.
Everyone
that's
knows
a place.
Where Boston is.
Yes.
It's right on the coast right there.
Yeah.
That's where everything's being kept. And I spent two or three summers in Cape Cod working at a hot dog stand serving gay men foot-long hot dogs.
Yes.
You know what never got old? Put a condiment on that. That never got old. Aww. Good times. Drunk gay men, hilarious every time. Put
I'm
a condiment
so glad.
On that. And I'm here to please.
Oh my gosh.
So you started when you were 8, but then re-upped again. Because
yes.
I had viola when I was 8.
Oh, yeah.
And quit.
Uh-huh.
And my sister, she had violin when she was 8. She's about a year and a half older than I am.
Yes.
And about 8 months into viola, I quit. And my sister was like, we can quit? I didn't know we could quit. And she had been so mad, just what you said.
Oh, no.
About how hard it was.
Yes.
And how frustrating it was.
Yes.
That she was so mad at our parents that she practiced like 3 hours a day to piss them off.
Wow.
Guess what happened?
What?
She got really good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was like, watch this disaster.
Oh, that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. She's like.
The violin. Oh, man. Yeah. Angela, did she tell you? She probably didn't tell you. She actually took it from her age of 3. They also taught her to read.
Mitsubishi, Montessori.
Yeah,
what was it?
Suzuki. Yeah,
Suzuki.
Suzuki. So she was tiny and adorable, and she was really good at it because she has a lot of musical talent. And she did it for 10 years, and then finally quit.
Right.
Because that was never
Maria
something
Bamford
she enjoyed.
Did Suzuki.
Yeah.
And she was like, I wanted to light my violin on fire. And then she will not touch it. She won't touch it. But it's so great that you went back to it. Because the thing is, so you just powered through it and you found
They spent a lot of money on me playing that instrument, for sure. Because it's like $50 a lesson.
Yes.
And doing that weekly is a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
When my sister eventually loved it, she wanted to be in the performing, she wanted to do this Performing Arts Center thing in downtown Milwaukee, but she needed private lessons.
Yes.
And we couldn't afford it. And my dad said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pay for every other lesson. You have to find the money for every other lesson.
Wow.
And she did.
Yeah.
Yeah. She babysat. She did whatever she had to do.
Oh,
so,
my God.
And for years, she paid for every other lesson. Yeah. So
That's so cool.
It was a good learning experience about cash flow, which is one of the things my father wanted to teach everyone. He wants to buy the world a Coke. Actually, he wants you to buy your own damn Coke. And he'll split it with you. So you did private lessons and you were an orchestra.
Yes.
And that's
lots
when.
Lots and lots of orchestra. And I didn't realize what a dork I was about it until I started teaching lessons.
And when was that? When
that was
college.
I've been doing it, in late high school and then through college, because my dad finally went, "Oh yeah, you need to get a job
Oh, there you go.
That would be a good thing. Not just babysitting and you're going to college.
Any job.
Any job. And so that was like presented as an option. Obviously, you've been taking lessons. You could probably give some. It's like, okay. Oh, yeah, that's probably a thing I could do. Because that's basically what he did when he was
a teenager. Musical?
Oh, yeah, they're super musical. Oh. My dad's actually a music professor.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, of composition or theory or?
Now it's technology. Yes, music technology.
Does he have a Casio? Just a quick question. One of those.
He had so many Casios. He used to do, like, when MIDI was the biggest thing, he used to do, he would come do, like, a assembly at our elementary schools.
Okay.
And he would, like, sample your voice and then have it play on the Casio.
Okay.
Yeah, which was always very exciting.
Blowing.
Yes.
For the elementary school level children.
Yeah.
Going, that's me.
Yeah. His big number was he would come out playing his electric guitar, and then at the very end he would push a button and fire would shoot out the end.
Oh, my God.
Because he was the coolest.
He had a guitar that shot fire?
Yes.
Your dad was the coolest.
It only had one charge, but he used it to great effect.
And you can't follow that.
No.
So you don't need it to have more than one charge.
No, you don't.
That's a closer. Yeah. That's your closer. Then you drop the mic and you storm
it's
off.
Done.
And the
it's
11-year-olds done. Go wild.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
That's pretty great.
And your mom?
She played piano forever, and she's a great singer and an even better dancer.
She's really even better dancer.
Yes.
Well, that's neat. So, wow.
Yeah.
Did you have piano lessons too, or no?
That was what we started on.
Okay.
We started on piano probably when we were three.
Okay.
And then moved through all the instruments, and they were finally like, you need to stay on an instrument, and that was what cello was.
Oh, and that's what cello was.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, when you started teaching,
yes,
was it just, did you just go to like the coffee shop and put up a thing?
There was a really nice store with beautiful people that just like the mom and pop, like they run the community and they have slew of teachers that they are just paying cash and probably not telling anybody about
it. Sure.
And
they have no Andy Ashcraft to make a spreadsheet.
So they had all the rooms and they would actually schedule it, which was great because I really missed that. I missed them just showing up and I didn't have to like.
Oh, they scheduled it for you? And they had a back room where you could have it?
I mean, obviously they were taking a cut.
Oh, sure.
But it was the best.
But it was a cut that they deserved and you value, clearly.
I really miss that.
Because do you still teach anyone?
I do. I teach now. But just for fun. Because I have to email their moms like all the time.
You have to do the scheduling and all the weird. Okay.
But it's worth it. The when I'm actually in the room and I'm playing cello with the young people or older people, it's just too much fun. I've learned that turned me into a super dork where I'm like, let's play that scale again. This is going to be really great. I'm super excited. Yeah. And, let's play it with eighth notes and then let's do 1/8 note this time. Okay.
Ooh. Yes. You can do it.
Yeah.
You can do it. Cause that's the whole thing about encouraging. Cause you were there when you hated cello.
Oh, sure.
So these kids have coming to you. Have they sometimes been little tiny haters?
I've had lots of little tiny haters. The ones that are sticking with it are just super talented.
Right.
And
they've had
they've had enough encouragement from like people that are not their parents that they actually really enjoy it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, the cello. this is not a treble clef instrument.
It is not.
It is not. It is the other one.
It is bass clef.
A bass clef. There we go.
Yes, bass clef and tenor clef.
Okay. Oh, tenor clef.
Yes.
So I know every good boy does. Every dog. What's happening?
Good boys. I don't know. Drink fizzies. What do they do?
They DF something.
They DFA. Yeah.
Yeah. They DFA. Good boys DFA. All right.
Yep. They sure do.
Drop roofies. No, that's an R. And I got to take it dark. Got to make it dark. So
they're not very good after that.
Right. So the treble was face and the other one.
Yes.
And then
face and that's every good boy.
Does fine?
Yeah, probably does fine.
That's it.
Yes.
Every good boy does fine. And
I
face.
Remember that.
That's right.
And face.
And then bass, I never knew.
No.
Because I never played any bass instruments.
Right.
I only played treble instruments. And so.
Because when you played viola, that was alto clef.
Wait, that might have been bass. clef.
Well, no, you actually had a special viola clef.
Oh, was there a special? That must have been why I was driven mad as well. Because the thing is my parents said I could quit viola, but I had to take an instrument. So I took clarinet.
Oh.
And then my sister, who powered through violin, was like, give me the clarinet. And then she learned my clarinet.
Oh, boy.
And then she ended up learning viola. Well, she was violin and then viola. And then I was clarinet and then bass clarinet.
Ooh.
And then she learned French horn. And then I learned trumpet.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we didn't stick with any of it. And Darla recently learned banjo.
Wow.
And she enjoys the banjo a great deal. She makes her. She was in a klezmer band where she would play the banjo. And
that's too much fun.
it was weird.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's something that you would definitely, I think, like a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's full on music, but it's also click. It's a slight off road of such a thing.
Yes.
So when you teach, kids are coming to you.
Yes.
They already know how to play.
Yes. So currently they already know how to play, but they're at that point where they don't really want to practice the basics, which is how I know I'm such a dork, because it's like, I remember not wanting to play my scales and then wishing I had.
Right. Cause then you're warmed up and it's sort of stretching.
It's like stretching, and it's so impressive when you can do it fast.
Oh, right.
And it always comes up when you get hired to do a musical and you're like, oh, there's like a million just runs I have to play.
Right. Right.
And I can't play it that fast.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to, that's why you practice the scales.
Why you have to practice scales. And it comes in handy because right through music theory of like, we're going to play a song, and I know that the guitar player is playing an E chord, so I know all the notes that I can play.
Oh, wow.
Just based off, I know that scale. So it's all, you gotta know the scales in order to just branch off and find your own notes.
Right, because you learn, okay, so when I learned how to read music.
Yes.
I forgot how to read music. And then in high school, my sister noticed that I was not reading music.
Oh, wow.
And because I memorized fingerings.
Yeah.
And she was like, what are you doing? And she got very mad. And she was like, you will be relearning how to read music. And so we did that. And then
Is she older or younger?
She is older.
Okay.
My sister is a year and a half older than I am. And she clearly is the boss of me. And is your sister older or younger?
She's younger.
And a year and a half-ish? A couple years?
Yeah, 2.5.
2.5 years.
Yes.
Are you the boss of her?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No.
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 Okay.
No, I admire her a great deal. And in that way, I want to get out of her way. And she's the coolest person I know. So it also makes me look really cool when I just stand next to her. And it's like, yeah.
The same
we're probably the same person, so don't worry about it. You don't actually have to talk to me.
If you like her, you're going to love this.
You're going to love this. You don't have to get close. That's
right.
Fine. I'm good.
My sister as well. She's one of my, if not my best friend, she's one of my very best friends. I'm not good at the word best friend for some reason. Wow, I need to look into that. My sister can be my best friend.
Yay.
It's okay. And and it's funny because she was my maid of honor at my wedding.
Yes.
And she, I wish I had a, I, if you get married, record the speeches.
Oh.
You don't have to, and just audio record them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you don't need to videotape. Nobody wants
to watch
it. You'll
remember it then.
You want to listen to the speeches again. Oh. That's all you want to do.
Yeah.
And so I'm very sad that I do not have recordings of that, but I remember her saying that we were friends and that we didn't have a choice because my grandmother was like, there's just the two of you girls. You're going to need each other.
Oh.
You're going to be friends.
Yes.
And Darla was like, okay, all right. And so she was the older, so I was constantly following her around.
Right.
And she's always been the most supportive of me ever.
Yay.
But she has always been slightly bossy. There's always like, she made me,
Oh yeah.
I had to work the phone banks for John Anderson running for president back in 1978 or 1980 or some damn thing.
Yeah.
And, she was like, no, you're going to want to help me do this mailing, Jackie. You're a liberal. Let's do this. And I was like, what's happening? And she's like, we're doing a mailing. Fold into three and then stuff envelopes for hours on end.
Oh yeah.
And so we did that.
Yeah.
So, so musical theory though is you learn.
We have like videos because that was when the camera came out, was when we were children.
Oh wow.
And so we have so many videos of me doing the boss thing. And now I look back at it and go, oh yeah, I was doing that for a long time. And it's the best because she is being very quiet and she is watching me do things and I'm doing them wrong. And she is noticing and then deciding not to say anything. And I love those parts because like we were doing... We're little kids up to like when I was 9.
Okay.
There's all these little shows that we did because we lived in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
And that was an activity was to, mom would put on the camera and we would be doing a science show and mom would probably go take a bath.
Cause you're the camera will watch you.
Yes.
You want to be watched. There you go.
Yeah. You're good. You're good where you are.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That is that a great.
That was fun.
That is.
So those videos are pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But yes, sorry, music.
Yeah. And that's nice that they had a video camera because there was new technology and not everybody had it.
And they're so ridiculously
and now you can look back and kind of be like, oh, first of all, I was adorable.
Yes.
And second of all, it's nice memories for everybody.
It is wonderful. We've had a really good time. We self-indulgently made that into a music video recently.
Oh, nice work.
Yes.
Well, why not?
She had to go through all the footage. Angela did a great job of like cutting it so you don't have to watch small children walk very slowly. She just like
she cuts to the chase.
She just keeps cutting.
Now, does she know how to edit video?
She's wonderful at it. She does all of our music video editing.
Oh, does
she? Yeah, she does everything. I am also a big dork about my sister. I can talk about that. She runs our website. She built our website. She does all the videos and runs our YouTube channel. And she's like so much marketing.
Wow.
She's doing all the Facebook. I was so excited when I joined this band because it was like
the band of you and your sister.
The band of me and my sister. I was in like 5 bands when we started the Double Clicks.
Okay.
And none of them knew how to make a Facebook event, which was really sad.
That is sad.
No one would
if you
come
think about that
to our shows.
Right.
Yes. Because they didn't know when they were happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that was what I was really excited about. It was like, oh man, we have an event. People are going to show up. They know when it's happening.
Right. And because it's weird, because I have asked several people who live in Portland if they have heard of you.
Yes.
And they have not. And I was like, what's happening? They're from Portland. They've lived in Portland for some time.
It's
they are
true.
A Portland-based band.
Right.
And all of the people I know who live here, giant fucking dorks.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, so there's no reason for them not to be huge fans and to know who you are.
Oh, thank you.
But then I showed them your Kickstarter for President Snakes, and I showed them your website and the YouTube music videos, and just the screenshot of you and the dinosaur, and the dinosaur with the
good Omzi,
yeah,
that's so great.
And they were like, oh, I'm in at the picture of people with a dinosaur. What's happening? And I was like, exactly.
You are
wrong to not know.
Yeah, Portland is just so saturated with music.
Oh, that's
it's just
that
like,
might be it.
Every night there is a million free shows you could go to if you really needed to watch live music.
Right.
And so
if you like live music, this is
like
a good place.
It's super great.
Yep.
You can't get away from it. If you wanted to go to a restaurant and not listen to live music, maybe you're in the wrong place.
Yeah, that I don't ever want to listen to live music.
I listened to one of your podcasts where I talked about that. I was like, I understand that sentiment. It can be really awkward.
It's aggressive.
Yeah.
It's very aggressive. I'm less mad at a live music event because at least someone's working.
Oh, yeah.
Than when I'm at an airport and the TV and there's music going.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm telling you, it's a close match. Because I'm just like, no, I want to love the people that have worked very hard and somehow got this gig. But it's super echoey.
Mm.
And I can't understand the words.
Yeah.
And I'm
a lot of the venues that live music, they think that's a good place for it. It's like, no, it's really not. And I get really sad about the sound a lot. And if you can't hear the lyrics, it makes me, I'm itching. I'm trying not to run over to the soundboard and trying to fix it.
Right. There has to be a way to edit, to balance this.
Let's EQ this. You don't need bass on your guitar. I'm just getting thudding noises.
Right.
And it's
just beat the guitar. Yeah, I will hear the thudding of that. Is that what you wanted me to hear?
No, it's just like, there are so many frequencies coming through that, throughout of the input and, or output rather. And so if the sound person doesn't turn off the bass, and there's giant speakers, you will get the noise of the strumming, like, in a bass frequency, and it's just so muddy, and it'll cover everything up.
Right.
I could talk about that for a long time.
Well, I don't like, the muddy is the best word.
Yeah.
Because if it's like, I went and saw a band, which I think is from here.
Sure.
1,000 years ago. That band's name was Harvey Danger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That guy has a voice like a bell. That guy has a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
And it sings, and you can understand the words.
Yes.
And so I was talking to him after the show, because it was some venue. It was at Bumbershoot.
Oh, cool.
And it was him and Robin Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Who is a famous person.
Awesome.
That I didn't know who that was, because I don't know who anyone is. But it's fine. I can be taught.
Yeah.
And I don't have to know who anyone is. I've made peace with the fact that I don't know who everyone is.
Glad I don't know who anybody is.
I'm not gonna get a lot of my self-esteem by not knowing all of the people on the shows and all of the people on the musics. So, but it was nice because like you looked at my setup.
Yes.
And,
it's fabulous.
I have many things turned down because I have a friend in a band, as everyone should. And he helped me set this up. And then I put little marks next to everything.
That's the smartest thing
to make sure that I always had it where it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And, wait, I think they're both supposed to be that way. And then he was like, well, And then I save up and I buy new microphones, better and better microphones. I started out with these microphones that were free.
Oh,
and I appreciated
those. Yes, they're
because they were
that is a level of microphone.
Right. That was the free microphone that I thought was very sweet of that to be lent. And then I bought $20 microphones, and we are currently $100 microphones.
We really are, because these ones have the switch.
These ones
they
have
are more
on,
expensive.
Yes, to have an on off switch.
Yes.
Which is actually terrible because I have recorded things with one of the microphones being off.
It's so easy to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's why I have the headphones in.
That is
so that I can hear.
Yeah, whenever I do a podcast, or I used to record my fiance's podcast, and I would wear headphones. I made them wear headphones because they were terrible on the mic. And so it's like, I'm going to need you to listen to yourself.
Right, so you can hear.
Yeah.
That's what the microphones are for on radio stations, so that you can hear how loud you are and how...
Yeah, the headphones. Yeah.
It's a smart idea, I think. I too can talk about audio quality.
Excellent.
And Patrick Brady always wants me to get these things for the live shows. I'm doing a live show tomorrow here at the fest. And... he wants me to get these things but they cost $40 a piece.
Sure.
I have one.
Okay.
I'm saving up. We're gonna get two more, okay. Four more. He wants me to have four.
Okay.
They might be $40 a piece. They might be $80 a piece, but they're in between the cord, the microphone, and the board. There's some sort of, they compress or they centralize the all of the audio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to clean it up, even if what's going out is weird. It's supposed to be good once it goes into the recorder.
Interesting.
And that is not enough information for anyone who is an audio dork.
No, and I don't know enough about live recording to really
Do you do
understand
that. Do you edit your albums?
Yes,
you do the audio editing.
I do the audio editing.
She does the video editing.
Yes. Yes.
And what program do you use the audio?
Pro Tools.
Pro Tools. Oh, you use the real one. I use Audacity. It's
That's
free.
A good one. It is free.
And it's perfectly
that's
fine.
That's all you need.
Yeah, because we're just talking.
Yeah.
And that's
all anybody really needs.
Yeah. Pro Audacity. Tools is kind of fancier though,
it's
right?
It's very fancy. I actually took classes on it in school.
Okay.
Yeah. And because I went to music college.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Did you go to that one in Boston?
I did.
Berkeley?
I went to Berkeley. Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
That is a good one.
It is.
That's might be
it has
the best one.
Gotten better since I was there. So I look even more impressive.
You look even more impressive. That's the greatest thing about college.
It's so great.
I couldn't get into my college. No, I went to Madison, Wisconsin.
Exactly. Yeah. The rate of acceptance is I would never get in now.
Right. Nope.
Yeah. They were trying to build their string section, I believe, when I applied. And so they're like, cello, let's do this.
Let's do this.
Let's do this.
So did you have to take other instruments when you went to Berkeley?
I did not, because I was not an education major.
Okay.
So I didn't have to be able to teach anything. I majored in music technology, music production and engineering what they call it.
Wow.
MP&E. We were the ones that would refer to our classes as numbers instead of actual titles.
Yeah.
Because like, oh yeah, have you finished your 421? Are you doing 465 next semester?
Okay.
Yeah.
And because what would you learn at 421 and 465?
What was 421? I think 421, I remember my teacher. She was great.
The people were wonderful.
Were you learning wiring?
Were you learning Pro Tools?
We didn't do so much wiring. We did, obviously, the theory.
A lot of software.
Lots of software, but we also learned how to use the giant boards and technically what's happening at each stage in the board.
Right, because now they're computerized or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they are. But like in Pro Tools, they sort of simulate the channels.
Okay.
So it's geared towards people who used to work on those, even though those don't really exist anymore.
Right.
Even though Peter Gabriel tried to buy like the big audio board company and like keep it going. It's like, yeah.
Oh, right.
Sure. That's not going to be a thing anymore.
The Ninja Turtle guy bought Heavy Metal in an effort to keep that magazine going. He's like, no, you guys don't want to see dirty drawings. Dirty drawings are fun. You don't. We're going to keep publishing it anyway.
Just keep making these like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollar boards that I can do all of this in my laptop.
Right.
I don't need that.
I can almost do it on my phone.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were just phasing out tape machines when I was
in
school. And so I didn't need to do that. But yeah, we would like make a demo and then we were working in teams because we were simulating like there's a producer and then there's an engineer and you have an assistant, which
okay.
is just fancy.
And, right. That feels like junior achievement.
It's
like there's a team that you're working with here. And so... Where was the music coming from, the demo?
Well, the demo, we were in a school full of musicians.
Right.
And there were songwriting majors that needed a demo of them.
Of themselves as well. Everyone needed it fed upon itself.
Yes, it was really nice.
And did you get to also play if you wanted to? Or you were busy doing your own?
You had to wait till your senior year to produce yourself.
Okay.
Because they wanted you to actually try to work with other humans and experience how stressful it is
to try to work with other humans.
Especially in that like recording the moment. It's just the artist typically, and I know as being an artist, mm-hmm. like your brain goes away and you're like, no, that's not what I wanted it to sound like.
Okay.
And I'm so stressed out at this moment and this is never going to get better. And as soon as you get in your head,
yeah.
it's like you forget how to actually use your voice and your instrument because it's going to be there forever and you want it to be perfect and you
right.
can't leave any mistakes on the recording.
Right. But even though it's digital and you can record over, I mean, it's not even tape anymore. So you can record it 1,000 times.
Yeah. Which is also dangerous.
Which is also dangerous. Yeah. Because sometimes you just got to give up.
You just got to stop.
Are they still charging a lot of money to use those recording booths?
The studio time? Studios are expensive to upkeep for sure.
Okay. And
yeah.
so they charge people to, they still, because it's got to be all soundproofed and.
Yeah. You want it.
They have fancy microphones.
They do.
Yeah.
They sound really nice when you have a really nice microphone in a really quiet room, especially because digital, you actually get more noises than you would have on analog.
Oh, really?
So it has to be quieter.
Okay. Yeah. It has to be.
It's amazing. The little goblins that show up is what I think somebody referred to as. But we just do it in our office space.
Oh, really?
Okay, mics. They're not the greatest mics.
So when you have your own studio,
yes.
but it's an office space.
Yes.
It is not
soundproofed.
Yeah, it is not soundproofed. It is not fancy pants.
No.
Did you ever see Music and Lyrics? You ever see that movie with Hugh Grant and
Drew
Barrymore? It's Fountains of Wayne did the music for it,
Ooh.
Which is something. Not a lot, but it's something. And it's about a songwriter.
Oh, yes.
And he was part of an 80s like duo of like Duran Duran, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
Where one person went on to be famous. Oh, no. It was George Michael and the other guy that wasn't George Michael. Remember when they were with... What did they? I don't remember.
Know.
But the guy that wasn't George Michael is who Hugh Grant plays.
Ah.
And he is a songwriter and he's trying to get like a Shakira-like person to buy his song.
Yes.
And him and Drew Barrymore does the lyrics.
Nice.
And so music and lyrics. It is a romantic comedy. It's craptastic. It is fun, but not anything that, I mean, it's not affecting change at any sort of.
That's okay.
But he has a little studio, and that was why I brought it up.
Yeah.
In a fictional movie,
there was a studio. There is a little studio, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's all you need anymore is the laptop. And if I updated Pro Tools, right now it's in. They're having an argument with how fast Apple is updating OS. So
okay.
I am behind on Pro Tools because I don't want it to fail.
Right.
It does that every once in a while. You update it and then it's like, oh, I can't. It's
use
crashing.
It at all.
This is great.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And so you lose work.
So I'm just not
going mess
there
with it
right now.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Wait till the bugs are gone.
Yeah.
And then buy it.
Yeah. Then I'll get the upgrade. It'll be great.
Yeah. That'll be great. That sounds terrifying. I mean, that is the problem with online or digital editing tools.
Yes.
Is that you can lose all the work.
Oh, sure.
And I suppose before they were, what did they fear? Fire? Light? Monsters?
Yes.
It was more of a, you know, someone was going to open the door when you were developing the pictures.
Oh,
or,
yes.
You know, and
yeah.
And there was nowhere to get them once you have done it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that was a lesson in one of my college classes was you have to back it up three places or it's not backed up.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, we had people who that was the example is they did not – they just, like, lost their entire session. Like, all 4 hours is gone because it was not backed up properly.
Wow.
You learned – you wanted to learn there and not professionally.
True. And did you – do you still currently back up three places?
I back up at least two places.
Right.
Yes.
Well, it's hard to remember that you're supposed to back up three places. I'm trying to think –
How many places is that? Yeah.
I think I have it backed up.
Two is
two.
Good.
I think I've got a Tesseract full of old dork forests and then I've got my desktop and then a lot of them are on Dropbox between me and Patrick Brady. So that's kind of three.
Yeah.
And but that's good. And then iTunes, of course, has all of them in MP3 form.
Oh, it's there.
So I could buy my own whatever or get my own things.
If it came to that.
If it came to that.
It would be okay.
It would be okay.
Yeah.
So you were in a lot of bands.
I was in a lot of bands.
When you graduated, you were like, I also want to perform.
Yes. When I graduated, I was like, I don't want to sit in a studio for 24 hours a day and be
a production
quiet
person.
Well, because you've... Like, you go to college, but they keep saying, you're still going to have to, like, pay your dues. And it's like, this was enough.
Right. I feel like I've been paying my dues.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go work in a studio. And so I came out to Portland and did not use my degree at all. And but I also played the cello, and I would go to open mics, and people would be like, hey, do you want to be in my band?
Right.
Because we're in Portland.
We're
and
in
we
Portland.
Love cellos.
And it's my favorite. It's one of my very favorite instruments, the cello and the French horn.
Yes. Which are the two hardest instruments to play in the orchestra. Somebody did a study.
Right.
And the two hardest. The French horn is harder.
Why is that?
I don't know.
What do they mean, hardest?
I don't know either.
You would think each – everyone's got to –
I mean, it's going to all be really hard. It just made me feel good.
Bass clarinet. Because bass clarinet was a lot of 1, 2, 3, 4, 12, 2, 3, 4, pop, 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 pop.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but French horn, there's all those notes that you have to hold forever and you've got to get that tone.
Okay.
And I don't
Same
know how French
cello?
Horn works, but I'm assuming that that all affects tuning as well. And
embouchure. Maybe it's all embouchure.
That's all the embouchure, I believe. That's just I.
Who
when
wants
I'm like,
to date a man who plays a French horn? This one, right here. Turns out it's fine. Anyway,
But it made me feel really good when I got to college, and my teacher was like, "That you know what? Actually, cello is really hard." I was like, "Oh, it's
finally.
Not just me. It's not just this is
right.
like I'm so terrible." It's
oh,
like,
that's awesome! Like, you were vindicated.
Yeah,
vindicated.
Been frustrating for a reason. Yeah, it was very
so.
Nice.
What? So, how many bands were you in when you moved here?
I started in one because I knew a guy. I'd been making records for my college friends so they could go be musicians. So I met somebody in Denver who lives in Portland. And he's like, yeah, when you get to Portland, you're going to be in my band because I need a cellist. And
excellent.
Then, yeah. And then from there, I just met more cool people that had awesome songs, mostly songwriters.
What were the names of the bands? It's always fun when the...
That's the thing is these were the band, you're a band, but really you're a songwriter who just like wanted you. You're like, you're part of my project.
Okay.
And so the people like Brian Rosendahl and Ezra Rose, who's doing really well right now.
Okay.
She's coming into her own and, they're, oh, I was in the Treetop Tribe, which was me and my housemate, who I taught to play the bass.
Oh, wow.
And she was awesome. And she had a bunch of friends that are all musicians. And it was just like, she's like, yeah, let's do music. And I was like, okay. Sure. And it actually turned around music for me completely, because I'd been in classes where people were just miserable. Like, this is my job.
Oh,
and your
right.
teacher is saying, you're not doing it good enough. And it's like, well,
so
this
you
is
got to meet
awful.
People.
And I met people that they hadn't been to music school. So they were not jaded, and they were right. just like, yeah, let's play some songs.
Let's
and,
jam.
Yeah.
Let's make lemonade.
Yeah.
And make it poorly and make it well and just screw around.
Yes.
And then eventually
they had the best time, and they just turned my whole mindset around from being in Boston and being miserable to being right. in Portland, where everybody's like, you know, it's not that bad.
Right.
You're going to have to stop complaining and judging everyone all the time.
Right. Oh, I suppose you're trained to judge when you go to a school like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're supposed to listen.
You got to listen. It's just
and are you listening for the errors?
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
how that could be better. That's how they probably phrase
yeah.
it better.
I'm could listening. We just appreciate like the things that they're doing that are just so great? Yeah. So
yeah.
I had to retune my ears when I got out here. And so I was in bands with songwriters, Treetop Tribe, super fun. And
yeah.
But not good. But that didn't matter. Did not matter. It was so nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
I didn't ask Angela, did she study music or no?
She did not.
She did not.
She did international affairs.
Oh, IR.
Yes.
I was poli-sci. Those IR people.
Yeah.
They were very intimidating.
I think she was very close to being poli-sci.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. She actually came out to Portland to do college, and so I followed her.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That is nice.
Yeah.
It's, the different bands, whenever I see anything, quite honestly, I had to retrain myself to appreciate what I was looking at.
Yeah.
You know, and to not look for a way to fix it, because it wasn't broken.
It's, yeah.
It is so not broken. It is exactly what it's supposed to be.
It is.
And it will change and become something else or something, perhaps something more palatable, but it's certainly not broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Resisting correcting everyone all the time. Oh my gosh. So amazing.
One of my favorite stories is I went and saw a mime show
Ooh.
In Australia at the comedy festival there 10 years ago. And I was there with Andy and Marie Bamford. And we're watching it, and it was two Japanese guys, and they did a 45-minute mime show.
Wow.
The first 15 minutes were what I like to call dad magic, where they yes. would like do that thing where they'd walk behind a couch and make it look like they were on an escalator, and they would pull the handkerchiefs, and they would, you know, all these different tricks.
Yeah.
But it was all mimed, and it was and I was watching it. And then the it was an hour. So the final 45 minutes was a recreation of a Rocky-like boxing
Ooh.
Story.
Wow.
Where eventually, it was essentially one guy being knocked around and then the other guy playing his corner manager guy. And then he throws in the towel at the end of it. It was incredibly dramatic. It was very beautifully. And they were amazing fucking mimes. And I remember watching it. And at one point I leaned over to Maria and I was like, that's great, but what, I mean, I don't know how you'd put that on television or how you'd fix it. And she just looked at me. She was like, it's not broken, Jackie. It's all good. And it was the sanest thing. It was like it flipped a switch in my head. And I think I've told the story before on, hey, if you're listening, folks, I got four stories. But the other one was
some
not
really good one.
3 or 4 years ago, I saw a ventriloquist lady.
Yeah.
And Tom Conti's daughter.
Ooh.
Tom Conti, a character actor from England, his daughter, whose name is escaping me, does ventriloquism. She was probably 33, 34 years old, very beautiful woman, very fit, good-looking yeah. people, fucking puppets.
Yeah.
And she did an hour ventriloquist act.
Wow.
And half an hour of it was stuff I had seen. And I was like, oh, that's ventriloquism. And it was fine. It was good at what she did, right?
Yes.
But 15 minutes of it was amazing. And the other, it was just in the middle.
Yeah.
So it was an hour. And I was watching it going, well, parts of this is amazing. And parts of this is just okay. But on the whole, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I could see the rest, because it was Montreal Comedy Festival. I could see the pile of fucking haircuts looking from Hollywood, just watching
yes.
her going, yeah, but how do we get her to lose the puppets?
And
because she's good-looking people,
right?
And she comes from like showbiz genealogy. She's got like,
yeah.
And how can we get her to lose the pup? And I was like, nobody who does ventriloquism doesn't not want to do ventriloquism. Cause right. It's like cello.
Yeah.
You spend 15 a lot of work. Years yeah. to learn how to fucking yeah. move your fucking man without moving your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's like, so when you move to Portland,
yeah.
that's a great lesson.
It was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That made me so much happier.
Right. How long did it take for you guys to decide to do a band of yourselves?
So it was a few years into, like, at the end of, Angela was almost done with college and she was taking a poetry class because she loves writing and
right.
is like, let's do creative writing. Cause she wanted to be a journalist. No one's out. The jury's out. She was a journalist for a bit.
Oh, she talked about a great RSS feed that she found. I was like, please do dork about Yay. RSS feed.
Yes.
It was a fantastic tale of zoning and planning yes. and public documents.
Yes.
It was a good one.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah.
And trying to be a journalist.
Yes.
Yes.
And but so she was doing poetry and it was just like, I'm at this open mic. Everyone is writing wonderful stuff, but her poetry is different because it's her and that's her yeah. point of view. And it was like, what? And she started playing the guitar.
Okay.
And that was the moment where it's like, hey, why don't you just come to open mic? It'll be great because everybody was so supportive.
Oh, good.
And it would just
a really good open mic.
It would just add to the atmosphere if she would show up and play guitar. And sing some cool stuff because she's
lyrics.
Obviously musically talented.
Right. And you're like, oh, you're playing music? You know that I play music.
Yeah.
We should play music.
You want to come hang out with me? I'm lonely. Okay. And
I'm lonely. You're my friend.
You're my friend.
Let's be friends.
Yes. I did actually force her. So I was a boss.
Okay.
In high school, I forced her to be in my girl band that I just made up. That I was just like, there was going to be a show at the local teen arts council. And they were like, it's going to be Divas Night or something, women women. I don't know if it was only music, but that was definitely
right.
a part of it. And I was like, I could put a band together for that, no
yeah.
problem. I've got people. Who do I know? You're great. You play guitar and you can sing, and I'm sure you'll play the piano. And Angela, you have to play the drums now.
So, the drums.
Oh, yeah.
Does she have any?
She
drumming?
Was taking drumming lessons.
Okay.
Because she was not allowed to get out of playing a musical instrument after she dropped violin.
Oh, right, right.
And so
she had to keep working.
She had to play something.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was taking some drum lessons, and we had a drum set, and. That was fun. Our band name was Charisma after almost killing ourselves trying to come up with a name, which was pretty amazing.
Wow. And Charisma.
Creating
the charisma to create the charisma. That's
this
awesome.
Is like because our lead singer was just an amazing, amazing person who also just, she super picky, very judgmental. And they were, Nothing. No.
No.
This? No. This?
Oh, wow. No. Just shooting
and
down
no.
everything?
And until the point where we would just, it was so funny to us that we like almost drove off the road because we were coming up with the worst names.
Right.
And like drove into another car. It's like, oh, God. Okay. Let's not.
Have you ever heard of Karen Kilgariff by any chance? She's on Bandcamp.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah. She has a song called Chelsea Guitars. And it's I think it's a guitar store in New York City called Chelsea Guitars in Chelsea and in New York City. And it's about how she just wanted to buy a guitar. And the guy at the guitar store, it was very angry and was very judgmental and
yeah.
didn't want to sell her any. She was like, now I just want anything
yeah.
that you're willing to allow me to purchase because I'm sorry you are not a rock star. It is not my fault, but okay.
Oh.
And it was, but it's a very funny.
I'm going to listen to that song. Oh my God.
Bandcamp. By the way, we are with Aubrey. And when I say we, I mean all of us. We're with Aubrey Weber of The Double Clicks and thedoubleclicks.com at thedoubleclicks, youtube.com/thedoubleclicks. You get the theory. Thedoubleclicks.bandcamp. There's the Kickstarter for President Snakes.
Yes.
That's great. You can watch music videos on YouTube.
Yes, you sure can.
You can listen on Spotify and Pandora.
It's
and,
true.
And you can buy stuff. And,
yes.
And then,
Thank you.
You can see you live because your Dealey Bob is on.
We're always touring on our website, thedoubleclicks.com. You can always find our shows. And we did a show earlier today, where we live stream on the internet because we know not all of our audience can go. We can't go to everyone.
Right.
And some people just don't want to leave their house.
Would you do it on like Periscope or something?
On YouTube. We actually do like a Google Hangout and then that combines on YouTube and it live streams.
Oh, then and, you just play some songs?
And we play songs and there's a chat so everybody can talk to each other.
Oh, well, that's fun.
And we have guests on every month. Yeah, it's really fun.
That's hilarious. And then does it stay up or does it go away?
Yes, and then we archive it.
And then you archive it. Okay.
Yeah. And so we have a bunch of just like hour-long shows of us talking at people on our live streams on our YouTube channel.
Nice. Yeah. So people should check that out.
Yes.
That sounds like another task. But I suppose once it's set up, you just need to schedule the time.
Yes.
Because
make the Facebook event.
Make the Facebook event and turn the camera on.
Yes. It's really nice. We've made it. It's not fancy.
How many have you done?
We did a bunch because it was part of our last Kickstarter and now it's part of our Patreon. And so we did like, we've done over a year of them.
Oh, okay. And you tried
one every month. Yeah.
It's a monthly.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's nice. So then everybody in like New Zealand or Korea or wherever they live.
Yeah. We scheduled it so it would be 8 o'clock in the UK today.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's really
fun. Maybe I should do... No,
it's very simple.
I need another test.
Yeah, no, I know. But it does take, like, obviously, you have to plan and do the thing. We only use one mic. It doesn't sound amazing because we just let it go. It's just going to be simple.
Right.
Yeah.
Just let it go because it's free and it's a fun thing.
Exactly.
And then does anyone work the chat room or do you just let it be a free-for-all of chat room?
It's very nice. Right now it's free and if there's a hater, you can flag them and they disappear and it's great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Who makes them disappear? Google?
I guess so.
Oh, good.
Yes.
You're just like, oh, there's a hater.
And they're gone.
And then they're gone. That's awesome. I had one guy grumpy at me on Twitter and I said,
oh, no.
There's no grump. I am not, this is in stand-up comedy, I don't always get to kick the heckler out,
right?
But on Twitter I do.
Yeah.
I can just block you and I don't have to deal.
Nope.
And you can make a new account if you're so inspired.
Yep.
And then I'll just block that. But weirdo.
Yeah.
It's an awful lot of work.
You don't have to be here. If you don't like this YouTube video, just go away.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Right. I'm not going to take it personal. I'm so not going to.
No, I'm not watching. Yeah. The chat does disappear at the end.
Okay.
That's okay.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
And then what about Gen Con? Because this month's sponsor is Gen Con. So you guys are going to Gen Con. I know. Do you get to game as much? Because I know that last year you went and you did shows.
We did shows. But we also gamed.
But you also got the game.
Yes.
Awesome.
Because it never stops. There's games all the time.
It's the greatest. It is the one convention where people are actually gaming.
They really are.
And meeting other people. They're not just standing in line to go to a panel.
No, you are
to
gaming.
Watch famous people. They are sitting somewhere, possibly being driven mad by a mediocre GM. Or not being driven mad.
Yeah.
but getting to really meet people and really get to have board games with other people. And Andy went the first year. He said he had heard of it for years.
Yeah.
He went 2 years ago, the first year for him.
Yay.
And I got a series of text messages, just happy as a clam.
Yay.
And one of the last ones, I think, or one of the first ones was, I'll be coming to this now. Now I'll be coming to this. I'll be figuring out how to come to this now.
This is what we do now.
And so last year I got booked at Crackers in downtown Indianapolis the same week.
Yes.
And I'm trying to do it again this year, but they're moving their comedy club, so may not happen.
Right.
But if it does happen, I have a space to do a live Dork Forest, and you guys are going to do shows?
Yes, we have like 3 different shows happening.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
And there'll be live music shows in different venues?
Yes. We're at least 2 of them will probably be in panel rooms, which is great. Everybody gets to sit down, which is what they want.
That
it's
is.
Good.
Who doesn't? If I'm going to see some live music, I do want
to
sit.
I would like to be sitting. Yes.
I'm a seated music goer. I saw Taj Mahal once,
ooh,
and it was seated, and it was lovely.
Yes.
And I believe I was 23. So it's not.
It doesn't matter the age.
Right. It doesn't have anything to do with age, guys.
I just want to sit down. Yeah. We're trying to get a booking agent at this moment. And the true test is we're really serious about wanting seats.
Right.
Yes. And so
everyone.
So far, he seems to be taking us seriously
that,
which is nice.
That is nice.
Yeah. We like it.
So you're doing 3 different shows.
Yes.
And then anything else or?
And then we'll be at Gen Con, which is great.
Yeah.
And
just hanging out.
Probably try to play a bunch of games.
Yep. What are you playing? What games have you been liking lately?
Last night I was at my D&D campaign, and that was really good. I came in, I had to, like, I have a pickup truck. I had to move a bed, so okay. I was late. But I came in just for the combat, and I used my broadsword, and I helped. I saved the day. I also was bloody and unconscious at the end of the battle, which meant I was doing more than my fair share.
Right, but you weren't bleeding out, were you? Had you been stabilized?
I had been stabilized.
Okay, fair enough. Yes. What D&D campaign? What are you playing? 3.5?
We're doing 5.0. Oh, nice. We're doing the Forgotten Realms.
Forgotten Realms
right now. Okay, which is nice.
That is nice. Yeah. And how many people play in your game?
Horde of the Dragon Queen. We're averaging around 5.
Okay.
There's like people coming and going.
And you can come and go.
Yes.
It's our
we just really want to play.
Right. So
everybody's
like,
busy.
And are they mods or is there a
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you guys are doing mods.
Yeah.
I'm in a Pathfinder game that I haven't played in probably a year, sadly. Just because I'm never around.
Right.
And but that game has like 8 people that come and go and come and go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're doing mods in that one too.
Nice.
So and it's my first time as a cleric.
Ooh.
Which means that when I'm not there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're
Everybody's
very sad.
Messed up. Yeah, our cleric wasn't there last night, which is why I was so unconscious.
You were unconscious at the end of the game.
It's like, I could heal or I could do damage. I'm going to do damage because
we're gonna end this.
You can't cast 2 spells in one turn unless it's so great.
It's something else. And then I play a 3.5 Eberron game.
Ooh.
That we've been playing for 10 years. That's the first game I ever played. So you do the tabletop D&D games.
Yes.
But are you, I just played, King of Tokyo.
Oh, yes.
King of Tokyo? King of New York. King of New York.
Both of them, yes.
I've played both, but King of New York was kind of fun.
Yes.
Yeah. It's better for more than one person.
Oh,
more than 2 people.
Right.
So King of Tokyo is best for 2 players. King of New York is best for 4 players.
I've only played King of Tokyo with too many players then.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's been my problem.
Okay.
I've played a lot of the Pathfinder Adventure card game recently.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's fun.
Because that's always a really good time. And so many games that I just like, what am I playing? Good at blanking on games. Is
Pandemic?
Sure. We play Pandemic. I played Pandemic with the most amazing 7-year-old.
Oh, really?
Angela and I did. She is a big fan. And, we just on tour, we went and her parents were like, you guys, like we asked them to store my cello case. I have a giant coffin that my cello
has to
flies
live in.
Okay. And when we fly somewhere,
mm-hmm.
Padding, which is great. I don't have to buy a seat on the plane anymore.
Right.
Which was a lot more money.
Right. Cause it's gotta be expensive to fly the cello underneath. In the padded thing, but not a $300 plane ticket.
Exactly.
So it's maybe $100 to take it, but it's not that big of a deal, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's great.
It's much nicer, but then we don't actually want it in the tour van with us because it makes it 10 times bigger.
You'd have to rent a bigger van.
Yeah.
So making it all moot.
But we played Pandemic with her and she's just so excited. And it's like, we're playing with the expansion. This is not going to go well. The world is about to die.
Yeah.
But she was just excited
to have fun.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I don't like the pandemic expansion.
Oh, yeah.
I only like
with the alien virus.
With the other viruses and then with the person causing the pandemic, the terrorist.
Oh.
And because we have all the expansions. I like the original game, just the 4 player.
Yes.
And I like to randomly deal out, even though I pray and hope that we have a scientist and a medic.
Yeah.
But it is one of my favorite games.
Yes.
It's super fun. I like the cooperative games a lot.
Have you played Flashpoint?
I have not.
That
What's
is,
Flashpoint?
You are playing firefighters.
Oh, fun.
Yes. And so you go, that you have to go in and after every turn you roll a die and, so the board is divided into a grid.
Yep.
But usually it's a house.
Right.
So you have different rooms on fire and you all come in like from different parts of the house.
You can choose
where you are.
Oh, that's awesome.
And sometimes there's like a depending on the version you're playing, cause you can play like easier version or normal version. You can have like an ambulance outside or a fire truck that helps you drive around the house.
Right.
Which is helpful because you want to move fast.
Yeah. You got to get there quick and you got to get to another entrance.
Yes. And so there, after the, each turn, you're like trying to get to these question marks, which could be a person, could be a dog, could be nothing. But you have to go investigate because you're trying to save like four people in order to win.
Okay.
And also the fire spreads after each turn. So you roll, and if it's there's not fire on that square, then it's just smoke. But if there's already smoke, it's fire. And if there's already fire, there's an explosion.
Oh, my God. So, this is exactly like Pandemic.
Yes, it is a lot like Pandemic.
That's awesome. I do want Flashpoint. Flashpoint. I'll get that.
It's
That's
a good time.
Great.
Yeah. And you also get different, you can be different types of
different types of firefighters.
Yeah. You can be like, yeah, I can't remember the names. I love the generalist who's just not very, he's fine.
Oh,
he's not the specialist.
Player?
He's a team player. He's good overall. Just doesn't have
He'll stop a fire. He'll see a fire and say, oh, that needs stopping right there. Let me go get a bucket of water or something. Yeah. Excellent.
That's one I always remember.
That's awesome. Okay. And this is where I like to ask people what they're reading. Are you reading anything good? Online? Hark of Vagrant?
You're reading I love Hark of Vagrant.
Hark of Vagrant is a great
Kate
comic.
Bean, yeah. It's so good. Yeah. I read my web comics. I read Candy Comics. I read The Devil's Panties.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Candy Comics. Candy Comics is, it's college, but it's so adorable. And, I guess I started reading it when I was straight out of college. So it's probably why.
Right.
And it's still attached to it.
So Candy Comics is the name of the webcomic.
Yes.
And is it set in college?
It is. And it's Candy with an I.
Oh, hello. Candy with an I.
Yes. And she is an art student.
Okay.
And she is in like the scholarship dorm with a bunch of other characters. Mm-hmm. And, everybody's different, and they're all acting like college students, and it's very good.
A slice of life kind of stuff?
She's like, I think it started where Candy had just been
Name's Candy?
Her name is Candy.
Excellent.
She has pink hair. She's great.
Okay.
She's an art student, and her boyfriend just left her, like cheated on her, left her.
Right.
And she's realizing that's not the end of college, you know?
Oh, right. I still might have to graduate.
Still got
to
get through class and deal with all social situations. I like that. It's fun.
That is nice.
Yes. And The Devil's Panties is, it's been going on for more than 10 years, and it's just like autobiographical, but she's a huge nerd, and she goes to so many conventions and also LARPing, and just amazing situations happen to her. She has a million siblings, and she just puts it out there in a comic, and it's always funny. And she's really fun.
That sounds really fun.
Jenny Breeden? Yes.
Okay.
She's a character, and it's great.
And I am the only thing I read comic-wise, I think, I do some Dork Tower. I'll do a little Dork Tower with John Kovalik, and then I went to college with him, so I've known him for a bit. And then Ogloff.
Oh, yeah.
Ogloff, which is sword and sorcery dick jokes.
Yes.
And sometimes filthy, sometimes weirdly not, but almost always funny.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, even when it's not dirty, even when it's dirty, both times.
Yeah.
Weirdly, smartly funny. And it's those are the, but I will try this Devil's Panties. That sounds awesome.
Fun.
Aubrey Weber, I'd like to thank you for being on the Dork Forest.
Thank you so much for having me.
Everybody should come and find the Double Clicks and go see a lot of funny, awesome stuff.
Come see us at Gen Con.
So, yeah, come to Gen Con and go to YouTube and support the Kickstarter unless it's over. And support the next one.
Thanks for your support.
thanks for listening to the show, everybody. Okay, bye.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?